This is Betsy Foldes-Myman, and I'm interviewing Andre Devancins about his piece for ConnectiPod. So, Andre.
Yeah.
We've known you a long, long time. I've known you since you were, God, how old were you when we first met?
Second grade.
So yeah, like seven. Second grade. And how old are you now?
I'm 16.
16.
15. 15.
Almost
I wish.
16. Getting ready to get that driver's license, huh? Are you the permit? Do you have yours yet?
No, I don't even have my permit yet.
Right? Well, you can get 16, you have to be anyway.
Wait, no. Yes, I am 16. Years? Wait, yes, 60.
No, wait a minute. I am 53, and I often forget whether I'm 53 or 52. You can't do that at 15, 16. I'm the one. I can never remember how old I am either. So, all right, let's see. I wanted to ask you, why, what inspired you to do this piece?
Well, I am part of the LGBTQ community. I'm pansexual.
Okay, what does that mean, pansexual, for so the older folks like me out there? Yeah. What does that mean?
So that means that I think like the best way to look at it is that I'm an open book. I'm open to all sexualities, so male, female, gay, you know, just whatever you are, you know. I don't discriminate, because even inside of the community there's a lot of discrimination. Like, gay people might not like a bisexual person, or a bisexual person wouldn't want to get together with a transgender person.
Mm-hmm.
Pansexual people, we are like, we're fine with everyone. We're like, you're a guy, you're a girl, you're non-binary, you're transgender, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more looking at the person than the body.
That is, I totally get that about you, because you've always been such an open, kind person. Okay. So then, in doing this piece, like, how are you approaching it?
Well, I'm approaching it to be very informative, because mm-hmm. as we saw right there, there's so many details in just one category, and there's so many categories that you can put yourself under. Like, because, you know, right now it's the time of labeling. Everyone likes to label things to be, I'm this, 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 I'm straight Republican, straight Democrat, gay, and etc. So when there's all these labels, you start losing meaning. So I want, through the interviews and my own commentary, I want to put meaning into these labels, let people know, like older folk like you who like
yes
who are used to like just like the binary. So, like, gay, straight, lesbian, male, female, to understand that it's more of a spectrum, to understand more of the reality.
Mm-hmm. To use a term that's been used a lot, fluid, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you interviewed different people from within the community,
mm-hmm.
correct? So who did you interview, and why did you choose that person?
Well, I'm not going to mention names because, you know, there's a lot of anonymity inside of the community, because some people aren't comfortable with telling people outside the community that they are who they are because of all the discrimination we've seen throughout time. So I interviewed actually someone who works at my school, and they're an ally, which means that they're not gay or whatever, but they are they support the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people are allies, and I feel like it's important to note what someone who isn't in the community mm-hmm. to note how they feel and their thoughts about it. So it doesn't feel like it doesn't give a hostile atmosphere of like, this is who we are and yes, this is us. It's more, everyone is part of the community. It's not just some people. We're all part of the community. We're all human beings. And we should all respect each other.
What was the line that your father said about, I accept you?
What he was saying is that, like, people are talking about acceptance. People say they tolerate LGBT people, or they tolerate Black rights, or they tolerate whatever, all these things people tolerate, but they don't accept. Like, you can tolerate anything, But do you accept it? Do you truly believe that those people have rights? Do you truly believe in those people? Do you validate them? Because tolerance is a sad word. Because it's a word that doesn't just mean acceptance. It could still have discrimination. Like, I deal with you, but I don't understand who you are.
So, for you, have you experienced a lot of discrimination personally?
Yeah. I've been called a faggot before. I've been called all these things, and I've been discriminated by people because of who I am, because I'm very open about who I am, because my personal philosophy is that I want to be an open book. I want everyone to know everything about me, so they don't make judgments, like, they don't make early judgments. They don't just judge me because of how I look. They can judge me because of who I am, because of my personality. And then hopefully they can get to know me even better through conversation and then learn my full picture.
Yeah. Well, what would you say, what was the youngest you were when you heard a slur like that?
A slur directed to me or directed,
directed to you?
To me? Mm-hmm. Probably 7th or 8th grade.
And when was the first time you heard a slur that wasn't directed at you that you thought, oh, me, that's me, maybe I better not say anything?
Well, I didn't really think, like, maybe that's me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, like, I've heard those words coming from people, whether on the internet, on the news, since I was in elementary school. And I've always been open, but, like, I never, thought about it really deeply until middle school. In elementary school, like, looking back on it now, I was like, yeah, I've done this stuff. But, back then, there's that childhood innocence of we're all who we are. And I feel like that innocence fades with age. When I was in elementary school, like, I was like, oh, I like girls. But I still liked everyone because I was used to the social standards, which are like, boys like girls like boys, that's it. Mm-hmm. But then, in middle school, I started thinking back, and I was like, I had these thoughts, and I have thoughts now. And so I'm going to act on those, see if I am comfortable with it. And even now, after I've been open for 4 or 5 years now, I'm still doubting. Like, I'm still not confident in who I am because of the discrimination that happens to people, that happens to me. It's 'cause it's a hard topic.
Yeah. And how do you work through the things that are hard?
I push through. I know that I have my friends, and I have people who accept me for who I am. And all I can do is try and make the haters, try and make the people who discriminate understand. But I know that I can't make everyone understand. You may have told your kid, like, go out there and make friends. And then when they're sad that not everyone's their friend, can't make everyone your friend. Sadly, you can't. It'd be great to make everyone your friend, but you can't. But you can at least try. And that's what I feel is the most important thing, that we just try.
That takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of courage to constantly try rather than just be like, I'm just not going to show anybody who I am. It takes a lot of courage to be that open, Andre. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you feel like you have a good support system around you?
Yeah. Especially at my school, there's a lot of people who are open. Of course, there are still discriminatory people at my school, but a lot of people are open about who they are, about their sexuality. And especially in the programs that I am in, the foreign arts, I know so many people, and I have so many people who are open. We have a GSA club, which is a gay, straight alliance, or gender sexuality alliance. Sorry. Whoops. So there's all these resources that are open to us. So, like, why hide?
Oh, that's true. And do you feel like your family is supportive to you too?
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah, that's lucky, right?
It takes time, you know, for anyone listening to this who is and is scared to come out or whatever. It takes courage and it takes time. You know, my mom wasn't fully accepting. She was tolerant, but now she's accepting. And like even there's still times where like I do doubt their acceptance. But like everything in life, it just takes time.
Yeah, it does. And so now, like you've been dealing with your emotions about this, and I know that you've had to work through things, right? So how does that affect like your vision of yourself in the future? Like what do you want to do, and where do you see yourself going? And like how do you feel like you'll accomplish that? Three big questions, right? But
Yeah.
you can take that in any way you want to. Give me whatever answer you want to.
So, like, for a career, I've, like, always loved cars, you know. But, like, when it comes to me, like, for who I am, other than just money or job or whatever, I want to help people. Like, I recently got told by one of the counselors at my school, like, that, like, he sees me as a leader, and that changed my perspective. 'Cause I have never seen myself as a leader.
For the record, Andre, I've always seen you
God,
that
making me blush. So like
way too. What's the sound of blushing?
what is this? Next episode.
There
But yeah, like I've started building my self-confidence, and in the future, I feel like it'd be great. Like lead acceptance to try and get more people to be accepting towards the community. So in throughout my lifetime, I definitely think I'm gonna be a loud voice for the community. I feel like I'm gonna be an advocate to try and increase understanding, because this man, I'm forgetting his name, was this man who was a black man who he went to KKK rallies to understand.
Wow. Well, we'll go back and I'll put that in the credits so people will know what to look for. I'll put it in the description.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I'm not going to be able to quote him verbatim, but he said something along the lines of, discrimination is brought from hate, and hate comes from ignorance, and ignorance comes from a lack of education. So, what are we to do to remove hate from our society? Educate.
Yeah, I think you're the person for the job. I do. I think you have a lot to give that way. From watching you interact with, I've been like I said, I've known you for a really long time, and how you've always interacted with people has always been in a really kind and not just kind, but in a way that's very observational. Like you work with people where they are. For instance, James, our other reporter has apraxia of speech. And you came up automatically with ways to help him, and he gravitates to you for that same reason. And when you taught him editing and, when you working on doing beats with him with sound, so you ha very are very strong in that way. Like you have a natural ability and a natural penchant to reach out to people. And you make every time we get together a stronger and more fun affair. what else do we want to say? Is there anything else that you want to cover that we didn't cover?
You're the boss.
I could interview you for another hour, but then I just wanted to get like a little, kind of like a, I just wanted to get a breakdown of what you were thinking when you created your piece, and I'll let you tell your own story in your episode.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, the thing about this episode that has really made me happy is that in my goal to broaden other people's horizons, I broadened my own.
Yeah, that's the way it works, right? That's the
Yeah.
best of
Yeah.
podcast, right? When you have to reach out to understand something. I can't wait to hear all your interviews. Cool. All right, well, that's it until we hear Andre's full episode. And tune in. We'll make sure you know about it. Anything else you want to say?
I'm Andre DeVancens, and I'm signing out.
Thank you.